Pinker, what a lovely name.
Thank you. An interesting name.
You're my special guest for the morning, and I'm delighted to make your acquaintance. We've never met before.
No, we haven't. Lovely to meet you. Thanks for having me.
I've heard about you, though. I've heard about your marvellous emporium called Sweet Pea. Is it Sweet Peas?
Sweet Peas, yes. So there's two of us in the brand, my identical twin sister and I. So there's two of us, two peas in a pod.
And who's your identical twin sister?
Her name's Stacey.
And are you identical?
Yes, identical
twins. So you must have had huge fun as kids growing up.
We actually did, yes.
Poor teachers, I bet you they never got it right.
We were very good kids in school, I must say. In primary school, high school is a different story, which, yeah. But we had a lot of fun growing up as twin sisters, and you share a very special bond, and it's very special that we get to run this business together. And
well, indeed, and we will certainly be talking about the business, but before we get there, I want to find out a little bit more about you, because this is the show where we unpack a little bit more about the jewels in the crown of Bolito. These are the movers and shakers, people that make a difference, be it through their endeavors socially or through their endeavors commercially, and I'm sure that you do both.
Yep, I would hope so. I think socially, most definitely. But yes, a little bit about myself.
Yeah, where did you grow up?
So I was born in Johannesburg, and then we went to boarding school in Magaliesburg, to Afrikaans boarding school.
Which one?
Called Becker Primary. So we had a very hard upbringing.
From a primary school to, as a little tiny?
Yes, from the age of six, all the way up to matric.
Why?
My mom was a single mom trying to raise three girls and starting off her architectural career. So she just didn't have the time, I suppose. And we were living in Hardest Spearsport Dam, so the closest school was Magaliesburg, so hence the boarding school. But I definitely think it's shaped us into who we are today. We are resilient. We're very hardy, as people would say. And then we moved to Knysna, and we went to boarding school in George. So that was like the glory years of I think my upbringing was living in the Garden Route. And then moved to Cape Town briefly to study. And then most of my family lived in Durban. So we decided let's give Durban a try and moved here 20 years ago.
And what did you study at
university? I studied IMM marketing at Varsity College.
Okay, so you have a marketing diploma.
Yes, I do.
And you understand clearly what is important in marketing?
I can't really remember what I studied, if I must be honest, but must all be coming to fruition now that I've started this brand.
Exactly.
I do the marketing and advertising for it, yeah.
There's a quite a lot of confusion around the term marketing and advertising, because they're kind of used interchangeably, and yet they're not interchangeable, really. Advertising is part of marketing, and marketing certainly covers advertising, but they are kind of two separate functions. In your opinion, what is the difference?
So I think marketing is understanding your consumer, so your consumer buyer behavior. And then advertising is bringing it to light, I suppose, the bells and whistles. So I think marketing definitely, I mean, I run all the marketing and the creative side of our business. So it's about understanding who your consumer is, where you're wanting to position your brand, which when we started off our brand 10 years ago, we started at the iHeart market and we were selling our shoes at the flea market. And as the years have gone on, we've now positioned our brand as to the more higher LSM market. So we've really progressed in our niche market. Cater to a different market now than when we actually started our brand all those years ago. So it's about understanding your consumer, where you want to position yourself.
And I think you really do, because quite clearly there has been a subtle transition as the brand has become more trusted. And I think that is the essence of marketing, is to make sure that whatever it is that you do, that your brand is trusted. So many folk just slap their brand on the internet and say, there it is, I'm out there, there's millions of people, look how many people. But you're not a trusted service.
Most definitely. I mean, we've kept our brand very small and niche. We could be everywhere to everyone, but we want people, when they wearing our brand, that it's something unique and special. What sets us apart is we've got two of our own factories in Cornubia Industrial. So everything that we make is custom made to order for our consumer. Wow. So it is made for you. So ladies design their own shoes. And I say to ladies, no one's ever done that combination or that style with that leather combo. And you're the only person in the whole wide world that would have this pair of shoes. So
that's interesting at a time when many factories are under pressure and many have
most
closed.
Most definitely, yes.
That you have bucked the trend and have opened factories and continue and are clearly doing the right thing because that's your business is doing well. It looks good.
We're a very small factory, so we've got two small factories. One's only 180 square meters and the other one's 100 square meters. So
but it's the point is that you're doing what needs to be done for your market.
Yes.
And in that sense you've carved out your own space. But when you were back in the day studying marketing or even before that as a schoolgirl with your twin sister in tow, what did you want to be?
I actually wanted to be either a marine biologist or a cartoon character designer when I was much younger. But I didn't really have many aspirations in school, to be honest. I just wanted to go study and have a party.
So are you one of those who trusts the process?
Most definitely. I mean, anyone who meets me, basically, my sister and I have winged this business. I mean, we don't really want to say we've winged it, but we've just put our heart and passion into it, and everything has just followed suit. So
I wonder if that's not the secret to success, putting your heart and soul 100% into something.
Most definitely.
Giving it 100%. And then, because I'm of the opinion that you reap what you sow. Across the board, I've never yet been proven wrong that if you've applied yourself in a direction, it may not turn out exactly the way you had thought about it turning out or hoped that it would turn out. But, you know, when you were thinking, I'm going to be a marine biologist and we'll see how that hooks. Clearly, yeah, I mean, things turned out differently. We'll get onto the business shortly, but would you suggest that this is your course for life?
Most definitely. I mean, I never thought I'd get into fashion. But I think Sweet Peas is more than just a fashion brand. We are trying to make a change and make a mark, and we're trying to be a sustainable brand. We're trying to move people away from the fast fashion model. So we're trying to be, yeah, we work with ethical practices in mind and sustainability.
Ooh,
and
we're going to come back and find out more about that shortly, but right now let's take a musical interlude to let you catch your breath.
Thank you.
And this is a song that you actually
requested.
Rather cool. Get some new shoes. Flo Nutini's new shoes from Sweet Peas, and aren't they looking just divine? My special guest, Shay Pinky. Is it Pinka or Pinky?
You can pronounce it. My dad says Pinky, my mom says Pinka, so not quite sure.
So take your pick.
take your pick.
And in South Africa, you can pronounce the word any way you like. No one's going to complain.
I think it's German, so it's Pinka.
Probably.
Yeah.
We were talking a little bit about you earlier, and you kept sort of bouncing back to the business and the brand, and I think that's clearly where we need to focus now, because that's your passion and your world. And you say you winged it. You and your sister had originally, as far as I recall, and you mentioned it, it was shoes that you started out.
Yes.
Manufacturing or buying and selling?
So we actually got another local manufacturer to make our shoes on our behalf. So we were involved in the design and the construction process. And for the first 3 years, we just got another factory to make our shoes for us.
And was that when I was informed reliably that you were brilliant in the sense that if you were selling at a market and you deliberately didn't have all the sizes available because you were encouraging folk to come in, look, feel, touch, and decide, and you would then order them online?
Most definitely.
So that kick-started your online business.
Yes.
How did that go?
So online, we built our brand off Instagram. That's the only only platform we did marketing and Facebook. And from the day that we started our brand, it went crazy.
Were the majority of your sales from markets where people had actually engaged?
So we started our brand
you?
As an online brand.
Okay, so...
Yeah, so that was our...
And from the get-go, was it successful? Even
from
though
the get-go. Our first 3 years of business were phenomenally
purely
successful.
Online?
Just purely online. And then we started stocking a few shops around the country. But then we stopped that a few years ago. We just wanted to keep our brand close to us. And when you're buying Sweet Peas, you're buying it from Sweet Peas.
Why did you decide to go the retail route? I mean, the stocking other shops route, initially.
Initially, I think just to obvious. I mean, there was the demand for it. And we were just getting approached left, right, and center by all these different retailers to stock Sweet Peas.
Okay, so it was in response to a request or
yes.
request. Okay, that makes sense.
I think our Instagram following, we had 50,000 followers in our first 2 years. And that was just organic growth. So
clearly there's something about your style that appeals.
Yes, most definitely. And I'm not sure where it comes from, but I just sort of know what women want.
The Devil Wears Prada.
There you go.
And what do you think about that movie? Have you seen it?
I've watched the second one. It was not my cup of tea.
Okay.
I think it was, they were pushing for a storyline there. But it was sweet to watch, but I'd wait till small screen.
Point taken. We won't go there anymore. Getting back to you. Your design nous or style, is it intuitive or do you follow trends?
I think a lot of it is intuitive, but so we don't follow fashion trends. We design our collection around, we call it a capsule wardrobe collection. So it's key pieces that you buy for your closets and you can keep now and for many, many years. So just wardrobe heroes and wardrobe classics.
And do they expand and contract as the
seasons come and go? Most definitely. I mean, they do, but I mean, our sandal styles, the ones that we launched with 10 years ago, we still have them as our top sellers, the trusted ones. We get a little bit creative with leathers where we go with bright pinks and bright linen colors, but it's not really our aesthetic. We go for the more muted tones. Just we want ladies to have a very versatile wardrobe. So you buy less. So our ethos is buy less, choose well, make it last. So we are trying to not get ladies to buy in bulk. We want ladies to be considered when they're buying. So that's why the pieces that we create and we design, we want them to serve many purposes for ladies rather than having to...
So you can do them up or do them down and
yes,
generally
most definitely.
Speaking, mix and match.
So like a classic white linen shirt and a classic black pants and a pair of tan or black loafers. And you can buy three tops, three bottoms and be very versatile and make many different outfits.
Yeah, makes sense. What has been your most successful item to date?
Definitely our leather sandals. Our classic leather sandals.
Okay. And what has been your worst? Biggest disaster?
I think swimwear. We had a go at swimwear and activewear, which actually a lot of people didn't know. We launched it on our website and I don't even think we sold one piece. So, and our swimwear, there was a big hype around it, but we quickly learned, let's just stick to what we're good at and what we know.
And let's take another breather, shall we? This is a popular classic. It's the Dave Charles Show on Radio Life and Style. The Dave Charles Show is brought to you proudly by Bidvest McCarthy Toyota Bolito. I'm in conversation with my special guest this morning, Shay Pinker. And she is one of two identical twin sisters that run a brand called Sweet Peas that the girls in the office tell me you can't live without. And I wonder about that because clearly you've hit the sweet spot. We discussed earlier how your concept is
totally
good,
unique, yes.
Classic pieces that you can dress up or dress down. And without having to overextend by buying millions of items, you can create a wardrobe that will last and that you can accessorize and be all things to all people. Clearly, the quality is there. The value must be there as well, because, and I'm not talking about price, I'm talking about value.
Yes.
People, I think, often don't really fully appreciate the difference. But in your view, you get what you pay for, right?
Most definitely. I mean, we invest in good quality materials, and we don't spend our money on things that don't matter. We spend money on the hands that make our products. We look after our team. We are family, and that's why we don't do big elaborate shoots. And we have obviously got onto the AI train. So, like, a lot of ladies ask, why do you guys use AI? Aren't you taking the human element out of your brand?
How does AI enter the manufacture of clothing and
so footwear? the marketing aspect of it. So you can market your shoes on a pair of feet, and it doesn't have to be a real person's foot.
Oh, so you don't need a model necessarily. Yes. Okay, I get you.
Yes.
But so, you're not relying on AI to design your race.
Oh, no. That's completely us, my sister and I. But it's just a marketing tool. So where we're not having to spend money on elaborate shoots, we're actually able to invest back into our business where it actually really matters.
Okay.
And that's the people that make our products and the quality leathers that we buy and linen. I mean, I think a lot of businesses now are moving to linen blends to make their garments because they're a lot cheaper, whereas we still stick to 100% linen fabrication.
And where does your linen come from?
So we get it from a local supplier, but they import it from India and Bangladesh. Unfortunately, there's no one that makes 100% linen fabrics in South Africa. So,
and is your supply route still safe? It hasn't been closed down by the Strait of Hormuz or anything like that?
No. I mean, we're going through a few different suppliers because there is supply. The demand for linen has gone up, but the supply obviously is.
And how do you control the pricing? Yeah, I was going to say, you're paying in South African rand, which is probably not the strongest currency in the world at the moment. How are you able to compete? And I'm saying with respect, because you're dealing your competition, some of the major chains that are able to buy for nothing their products and slap them out there and market the heck out of them, and you are independent and artisanal and
bespoke. There you go. So I think we just, like I say, we stay true to who we are as a brand. We don't want to compromise on quality, and I think people see that. They trust our brand, and they know that they are buying 100% quality, 100% linen, good quality shirt, then going to a major retailer and buying the same shirt that looks the same, but the quality isn't there. So I think we've just installed a lot of trust in our brand, and we've created a lovely community where I feel like people know the ethics around our brand and the ethos, and they want to buy into it. And we're proudly South African, and, you know, everyone, our hope starts airing to that way of thinking that we've got to, for us to make our country thrive, it's got to start with each and every one of us. And
it's quite right. Absolutely right. What are your plans for the future?
Sure. I mean, obviously, we just want to carry on running our brand the way we have. We never want Sweet Peas to be this big, massive operation. My sister and I wanted something that we could do together, that we would love, that we could enjoy, that it wouldn't be a massive business that would stress us out. We just want to wake up every day and have a purpose and love what we do. So just continuing bringing.
Do you ever fight? Because I know siblings sometimes.
You
don't.
We don't fight at all. We got completely different roles. So Stacey's more the analytical side of the business, and she handles accounts. She deals with customer emails, and she does our books. And I'm purely just creative side. So I work at our retail shop here at Lifestyle Center. So she sits at the factory and she deals with staff and accounts. I sit at the shop and I deal with customers because I'm a people's person, love talking. And I do the creative side of our brand. So
we're coming to the end of our chat. Now, I just wanted to find out, you opened at the Lifestyle Center. Initially, you had a little tiny store
at the studios. Yes.
Yeah, and that was lovely. And then it disappeared, and a lot of folk got really upset because they
thought we had closed down.
No, my favorite store. And that was a fact. But big surprise, you opened a beautiful, much bigger,
bigger and better,
brighter store next to Zara's Cafe.
Yes.
And how has that move been?
It has been very beneficial for us. A lot more feet. It's also gave us an opportunity to give our brand a new look and feel. So we went for the whole Japandi aesthetic. So I think our shop is very unique to Bolito. I think maybe even very unique to South Africa. A lot of women walk in and they say to me, this shop looks like it belongs in New York.
Yeah.
So,
and that for any lifestyle center, but any shopping center apparently, this is the idea, to try to capture the again using the term jewels in the crown, the stores, the offers that are exceptional and unique. If you can do that rather than bringing in a chain so that it's cookie cutter around the country.
So it lends to the name the Lifestyle Center.
Well, you see, one hand washes the other. I congratulate you on the brand that
you've
established.
Thank you
so much. It's clearly hitting all the right marks and making huge, huge inroads into the world of fashion in not only KZN, but as you say, through your internet connections globally, the world is your oyster. My very special guest, Shay Pinker. It's been lovely chatting to you.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
And when you start doing men's fashion, I'm sure you're going to need
a
model.
Yes, we have started.
Come and talk
so
to me.
Yes, most definitely.
Yeah, okay. Well, there it is. I look forward to connecting with you again.
Yes.
In the studio on the Dave Charles Show, brought to you by Bidvest McCarthy, Toyota, Bolito. And we play out with this one. It's called Call Me, and I think this is another one of your tunes.
Thank you. Bye.